Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Everybody, welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast sponsored by Wintrust. Head to wintrust.com/Cubs for more information. Tony Andracki here with Kelly Kroll and Luke Stuckmeyer. Guys, we have kind of good news and bad news for both Chris Bryant and Yu Darvish. The good news with Chris Bryant is that there may be kind of a reason why his struggles have been going on for the last month. The bad news is he doesn't say that the shoulder injury that just put him on the disabled list has any result of the fact that he only has one homer in the last 32 games that he's played. And then the Yu Darvish fact is he had a really good outing. The bad news is the Cubs still don't know what they're doing for sure with him, and Yu Darvish doesn't feel like his triceps is 100%. Lot to unpack here. Kelly, we'll start with you. What's your first takeaway here?
Well, I guess I'll start with Yu Darvish, because this was the big acquisition of the offseason for the Cubs that up to this point has not panned out nearly as they expected. And to think that maybe he is going to be back on track and taking the mound prior to the All-Star break, which is what we were unsure about for a long time, but now it sounds like that is a possibility here with a couple weeks left that we could see Yu Darvish on the mound before then. I think that that is a huge positive. I really do. I don't love the thought of him still having pain anywhere in that arm at all. For a guy who's gone through TJ surgery before, that's just not something you ever want to hear. But I, as someone who covers the team, and I think fans at home are just anxious to see, no matter what, this guy get back out on the mound. I mean, otherwise you start to begin to feel like this is a lost season for him altogether. And I think that's more of a positive right now, like you said, than any negative. And with Chris Bryant, I guess more than anything, I'm in my head thinking, oh, this explains some things. This explains why I don't feel like watching him, I have seen the same Chris Bryant that I felt like existed the last 3 years. And not to say that this is not a bump in the road that any young guy is not going to hit. I mean, Chris Bryant, if there is any unblemished career out there, he was the guy. I mean, he had just that fairy tale of a career up to this point with all the awards, and each year it seemed like the mountain he was going to keep on climbing. And I guess in a way, you know, if this is the worst it gets for him ever, this is okay. This is going to be all right. But in terms of right now, I guess to me, I just wanted to know what was going on, and now we have a clue. And it doesn't sound like it's something he's overly concerned about. Joe Maddon's never going to go too over and beyond on explaining things or being worried or not being worried. And so, again, we said from day one that this team on paper looked tremendous, but it would come down to health. And health has been the whole issue for them all season long. We're looking at one of their best hitters, and what was supposed to be the guy that turned this rotation into one of the best in baseball, having not been at their best.
Well, like, what player hasn't had a slump at some point during his career? And we're not talking about months. We're talking about a few weeks that he hasn't played well. Rizzo had the beginning of the season. He wasn't playing well. Mike Trout has a couple bad weeks. I mean, you name any player in baseball, every player goes through a bad stretch. Now, Chris Bryant was asked, you know, do you think it was the power outage was because of the shoulder? And he's like, no, I think it was the wind at Wrigley. He kind of joked back a little bit about it. Listen, guys are going to go through this. I'm not worried about Chris Bryant at all. I mean, I'm glad that they're not saying, oh, we better do an MRI immediately and we're really concerned.
Right.
I think it's an okay thing. He's never faced this adversity in his career at the major league level. So it's okay that he's going through it now. I'd rather have him go through it now as a Cubs fan than I would have him go through it at the end of the season right before potentially the playoffs or trying to get into the playoffs. As far as Yu Darvish goes, I think the biggest question is, if you're the Cubs, do you just wait until after the All-Star break no matter what? Would you rather have him pitch once maybe before the All-Star break, then take a bunch of days off again, and then try it afterwards so there's been some rest in between? Or would you rather just, you know what, get 100% healthy and come back after the All-Star break? For me, I'd rather have him wait till after the All-Star break.
The thing that's concerning about that is, physically, he's pretty much been 100% healthy. I mean, it's been more than 4 weeks that he got the MRI and it was clean. It was just some inflammation. And I mean, as John Lackey said before, and even Lester saying now, like, pitchers have that. Like, mm-hmm. It just hurts. I mean, why? It's such an unnatural motion. So you're going to have inflammation if you threw 60 pitches a day before. It's been 4 weeks since he had an MRI that showed no structural damage whatsoever in his arm. And he looked good. He was touching 94. I was out there in South Bend watching. He was throwing that Ephus pitch. He threw all of his pitches, including the Ephus, for strikes. The only pitch that got hit that he threw was a split finger. So he looked good. But then he didn't seem confident talking about it. It seems like it's still there. Like you mentioned, Kelly, that Tommy John surgery that he's had. He's mentioned that 3 separate occasions now, and the anxiety that he's felt that the triceps related to the elbow and so on. But the thing is, like, before an elbow goes, most of the time it's a forearm issue. So he's not experienced any forearm stuff. So triceps is more related to, like, the shoulder issue, which he's also not experiencing anything from there. So it just seems like, and I don't want to, like, accuse it of being in his head or anything like that, but he definitely has a mental hurdle to cross before he's able to get back out on the mound. And I'm not sure how the Cubs get him there besides just supporting him, which they've been doing.
And right or wrong, that has been his rep from outsiders when he came to Chicago, is that mentally sometimes the big stage can get to him. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I guess we may find out.
Right.
But maybe this, you know, coming over to the Cubs was a lot of pressure early on, and he wasn't quite ready for it. I mean, John Lester didn't have a great start to his Cubs career when he got here. He kind of eased in and then got much better. It's a different stage. Playing at Wrigley Field is a different stage than other places. And I could see that being a realistic scenario that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine this might have happened. I just don't know for sure. But with the Rangers, I don't think the home fans ever booed him there, you know,
no.
Let alone at Wrigley. He's been booed, I think, twice now, at least, by his home fans, by the Cubs fans. So, you know, I do understand everything that he has to go through. Obviously, having Tommy John surgery, you're worried about that too. But at some point, you got to just keep going back out there and throw. I mean, he had the surgery early in 2015. It's been going on almost 3.5 years since that surgery. He should be good. Like, everything should be fine. It's rare that a guy would need multiple Tommy John surgeries. So it is that mental hurdle that they'll just have to get past it.
So let's say, I mean, to what Tony's saying, this isn't a physical thing at all. Physically, he's ready to go.
Physical in that conditioning. He
right.
mentioned that. He still has to work up because it's been 6 weeks since he's pitched. But yeah.
So with that being said, if we're thinking that this could be related upstairs some, as we've talked about all season long, what is the pros and cons to then you saying, maybe, Luke, maybe we just start him after the All-Star break? You get where I'm going with this?
Yeah, so, but like, I
is
wanna...
there a mental hurdle that it helps to throw him out before and, like, force him to, like, hey, come to grips with, like, this is what it is, versus let's protect him another 3 weeks and then recalibrate completely and go with second half?
I'm afraid if he has that first game and it doesn't go well, and this is a mental thing, then he spends the off time of the All-Star break thinking about it. I'd rather tell him ahead of time, you know what? All-Star break afterwards, you'll be 100% ready to go. Reset your whole season as if it's a completely new season after the All-Star break, because I don't think the Cubs can win the World Series without Yu Darvish being good. I don't think they'd have enough pitching without Yu Darvish being Yu Darvish.
No,
like, really, this team potentially could come down to Yu Darvish. Right or wrong?
Right.
I think that's true.
I mean, he is one of their,
yeah.
I mean, that's part of why they signed him.
He was the reason, yeah.
And it's as great as Mike Montgomery has been pitching. I mean,
Oh, he's a blessing.
Right, yeah. And it's been awesome, you know, to have him. But, like, if you have game seven, is Montgomery a guy that you want to throw out there right now? Is Tyler Chatwood a guy that you want to throw out there? John Lester's been phenomenal, but he's also getting hit way harder and way more than he's ever been in his career. So one bad game, one bad luck. So you're basically looking at, like, Quintana, who's also been up and down, and then Hendricks. So it is. I mean, Darvish is so important to this team's success when you're talking about a playoff run and everything else. Plus, I mean, I feel like Montgomery would be amazing out of the bullpen in the playoffs like they had for him before. So I feel like he's kind of destined to get there. Even if he stays in the rotation for now, he'll probably always end up back there. But
and I only say that it may hinge on Darvish because I'm expecting the other things to come back to where they should
be.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm expecting the hitting on this team to deliver the way it should. Chili Davis called the hitters-only meeting on Tuesday and got the guys together. I don't know what was said in there, but I would love to be a fly on the wall after that Red series.
No doubt.
And after Monday night, well, hey, guys, we need to do this. I'm curious what Chili Davis's message was to the Cubs hitters.
Very true. And who spoke up in that meeting?
Hayward.
Right?
I feel like it, yeah.
Well, if anyone has right now, I mean, if you look at numbers and who's doing something that has the right to say something.
Almora, Hayward,
right? Almora. I mean, because, I don't want to go too far as to say, but, I mean, just to what Luke said, I mean, in any situation to get it all done again and be winning a World Series or be back in a World Series, your superstars have to play like superstars or pitch like superstars. And right now, that was supposed to be Yu Darvish's role, and it certainly is supposed to be the Brizzo's role, and that isn't there right now. It's just not. Now, I'm not saying it won't be, but it's they're not right now hitting and or pitching up to their potential.
And so let's go back to Bryant then in this aspect. I mean, this week off, he's eligible to come off the DL after their next off day. So July 3rd against the Tigers at Wrigley is his first day he could come back. He said he hopes to be back by then. You know, maybe he will, maybe he won't. But the thing that actually concerns me about this injury and that maybe is a silver lining for the future is Bryant thought that he was swinging too much, and that's part of what aggravated it. Whether it was a slide a month ago or not, he was trying to get out of the slump, and he was going in the cage and swinging more than normal, and too many reps aggravated his shoulder and continued to make it worse. So maybe he will have learned something from it.
Right.
Maybe he realizes less is more, which Madden preaches all the time. We see the American Legion week, the optional BP every day. Mm-hmm. And he said, Madden said the same thing about Rizzo with the back injury earlier in the year, was Rizzo should do less. But Rizzo's learned. He knows that he's doing less now. He takes fewer ground balls, fewer swings. So maybe this is Brian's learning curve.
Maybe this experience
is what he needed. But his numbers, you know, since May 15th, and we don't know exactly when that slide was, but May 15th to June 22nd, his last game, 32 games played. He hit .279, which isn't terrible, but only a .382 slugging, .731 OPS, one homer, one triple, nine doubles, and then 13 walks. Again, not terrible, but not Bryant level. 42 strikeouts. That's not what you normally would see from him. So it was a rough stretch, and the fact that he might be able to be back, you know, with almost half a season left and hopefully healthy, that should change the dimension of this Cubs lineup.
I remember an article you wrote about what a historic march Chris Bryant was on.
Yeah.
I mean, let's remember it's just a stretch of the season, because earlier in the season we were talking about what an unbelievable tear this guy was on, and he was going to rewrite Cubs history books. I still think that's the guy they've got on the team. Let's not panic over a little bit of a stretch where he's slumping for the first time and he's such a competitor that he tweaked his shoulder a little bit because he wanted to get it back.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it wasn't too long ago, Tony. I think you remember at the post game, I asked him, like, over the last month, because we were seeing some of these numbers not quite where we knew they had been or could be. And I had asked, you know, have you been pitched to differently when it came to basically being pitched inside, and he admitted it had. And now, knowing there's this shoulder soreness going on in his mind, I thought to myself, all the things a guy's thinking about when they're standing there at the plate, and you know, whether the strike zone, he clearly wasn't for a while, it was totally off for him, and he wasn't seeing pitches well, and then he was being pitched differently, and then there's the shoulder, and I'm starting to think, who knew what he was trying to battle at once, and maybe this whole stepping back away from it for a week is a good thing for a number of reasons. You mentioned the learning experience. Probably knowing the way he grew up with Mike, that's all he did is hit, hit. And now, again, young kid, still very young, but at some point you do start tailoring your routines each day to be different. I mean, these guys have been playing since they were five, six years old, so.
Yeah, but I mean, even that, it's, you know, in 2015, they went all the way to NLCS.
Yeah,
2016
three in a row.
In November, you know,
right.
So like,
I mean,
as much
Lester
as he has.
Talked about that, right? How
right.
It affected him then again in 2017.
And Brian's only 26, but it is affecting him differently. And that's the other thing too, is it's not just, they don't want to just get to October. They want to play through October again. So they need to make sure that they're healthy. And they've always kind of had that long view, at least over the last few years, not in 2015 to start, but they want to get these guys healthy. That's why Morrow just went in the DL, even though maybe he would have been fine in a couple of days. CJ Edwards, we're not hearing much about him, but at the same time, like, yeah, the Cubs could probably use him in the bullpen right now, but he's saving bullets for later in the year when they're thinking that they're going to need him as well. So Chris Bryant maybe saving some bullets. So it could go in the right direction, but the injury picture for the Cubs in the first half of the season has been a lot uglier than I think we were all expecting going into the year.
Yeah, I would agree. It's just, I would again say it's a short portion of the season.
Right.
Right? I mean, you can't worry about where they're going to be.
And you look at the team they're playing in LA, and they have guys that were done for the season.
Yeah.
The Cubs do not have one of those. There isn't a Kyle Schwarber 2.0 this year. So these things, I think this is more, wasn't it, John Lester, that it was 2016 that was like, this is a very uncharacteristic year.
Yeah.
Like the fact that we had no injuries and we just, you know, all season long, it's like we never hit a rough patch. I mean, this is what you kind of, I think, expect, right, from a baseball season. Little nagging things that different guys at different times are ending up on the DL, and you just hope everybody's healthy come September.
Nationals and Dodgers have had their moments too. Dodgers got off to a horrible start. Now they're the hottest team in baseball.
Yep.
It's just the way a long baseball season goes, and it doesn't mean that they're not going to get there. I'm just saying, again, on the Darvish thing, if everything gets back to the way it should be, I still think he is the asterisk that goes next to the season. He's the key to them going beyond where we think they can go.
So physically, though, if he is good, then is there any mental question about how this kind of has already played out? If you're, and I agree with you 100%, Luke, I think he is that kind of X factor for the Cubs. But then mentally, will he 100% be okay in October if they get there? Like, nobody will know. Even the Cubs don't know.
I just still think this is a team that can win the World Series.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
It's one of several teams that could win the World Series out there.
And if he goes out and has a dynamite second half, who's to say that mentally that doesn't put him
on
cloud nine, right? Like, he's going to gain more and more confidence every time he goes out, every time it goes out and pitches well. But hey, to what you're saying, I don't know if this is still a bumpy second half for him going into postseason. We may see these things surface again. I don't know. You may be wanting to wrap this up soon, but Luke, I just had a thought about Chili Davis. I don't know. My mind was still like going on this Chili Davis calling this hitters meeting, and I have an idea. What if he pulled out the video of Ben Zobrist laying down the bunt in L.A.
Yeah.
In 2016? And from there on out, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what he's showing up.
Ben Zobrist, we're doing this podcast Tuesday evening right before the start of the game. Ben Zobrist is leading off.
What if that's what it was? What if that's the – no, I'm sorry. That was totally random. I was waiting for that. I mean, I was sitting on it.
Kelly, both of these stories, Darvish and Bryant and the offense struggling, they're all three of them are bigger stories if you're trailing the Brewers by 10 games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, in 1 week, you can easily pass that and catch the other team. And
they did that last year. Yeah.
And it'll probably be more than a two-game lead or two-and-a-half-game lead. When it gets to be double digits and it's later in the summer, that's when you panic about any of these things.
Yep.
Right now, it's just one of the ebbs and flows of the season.
And the Brewers, I mean, you mentioned them. They just lost Lorenzo Cain to the DL, too, and he's their most important player, offensive player. So, I mean, nobody's immune to it, as you said, too, Luke. But the Cubs are also built for this. They're built for the depth. That's why they haven't traded Ian Happ or Javi Baez or Addison Ross or anybody else. I mean, so now they can slot Javi at third while Brian's out, and Zobrist or Happ can play second, and it just creates more of an opportunity for Hayward, Schwarber, Almora, etc. So they were built to sustain these types of injuries. Mike Montgomery as well with Darvish. So
I just shake my head thinking, I mean, of all the offensive players and position players you just named off, I think about what this bullpen has been through this season already. And talk about the depth. They've literally reached down and brought up how many guys from AAA now? Maybe five? And
six now
six
with Maples.
With Maples. And you've seen great outings
seven
from these
if you
guys.
Include
I mean,
Rob
they've
Z,
really
but, yeah.
kept this team in games night in and night out for the most part. There hasn't been one guy, in other words, that's come up and just I don't have a good phrase right now. Everything I want to say is not appropriate for this. But basically, you know, had a meltdown. How about that? There's not been one guy that came up and just wasn't ready for the stage. They really all performed well.
Nobody's come up and pulled an Archie Bradley.
Yeah,
that's a safe way to say it.
And they weren't even able to bring up their number one pitching prospect.
Right,
because he got hurt. So these are the other guys that are in line to try and come up to the team.
All right, that'll do it for the injury podcast and the Cubs Talk podcast. Again, we are sponsored by Wintrust. Head to wintrust.com/Cubs for more info. Thanks for tuning in.